President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a good morning. I wanted to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the scripture says this, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." The love of money. Yesterday on the program, we talked about what's behind the curtain. I shared the illustration of the Wizard of Oz as they found out that the wizard wasn't really who they thought he was. They pulled behind the curtain, Toto did, and revealed this man. And he's pretending to be this great and powerful Wizard of Oz. He's just a man. And Dorothy says to him, because of his deceit, she says, "You are a very bad man." Anybody who deceives is a very bad person. Now, some people deceive, as we said yesterday, some people deceive people, but they themselves are deceived. They believe their own baloney and they didn't create the baloney. They were told the baloney, and they believe it, and so they act on that. You know, when we think about the people that flew planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, did they believe a lie? Yes. They were told that if they did this, if you die in jihad, they're told in Islam, you go straight to paradise, and you have the 70 virgins. Isn't it interesting in Islam? This is just an aside, but their thought of heaven is sexual immorality. You can just tell the devil's fingerprints are all over that false religion. Anyway, they're told this is what you get. You're going to be rewarded if you die in jihad. And so they sign up to do this because there's a payoff. They are believing a lie and they think it's true. They're deceived. But those who are purporting the lie, knowing it's a lie, they're the deceivers. And being a deceiver is far worse than being deceived. Both are bad. But when you're the deceiver and you are the one spewing lies and you know you're spewing lies, well, that constitutes being called a very bad man. Well, the scripture that we read, very classic passage of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, talks about the love of money. And we ask ourselves, what is going on in our world, and why do people do the things that they do, and especially in politics, why do people do the things that they do? Some are motivated by a love of country. We call those people patriots. And what is motivating them? They love America. I mean, you may not like Donald Trump. You may think he's this evil, horrible person. But there are lots of people who believe that Donald Trump loves America. And he's doing what he's doing because he loves America, because he sees there's a problem in our country. You may not like Elon Musk, but, you know, is Elon Musk doing what he's doing for money? Well, it doesn't sound like it, because he's lost a lot of money supporting Donald Trump. Now, Tesla, since Tim Walls came out and said, you know, he gets a boost every time he sees the Tesla stock updater and sees it dropping, and it was down to 220. Well, now it's up to almost 280 since he said that. And, you know, I don't understand a politician who would cheer the slow demise of a company from his perspective. Obviously, Tesla is not going anywhere, but he cheers that it's going down, down, down. Well, Elon Musk has lost, like $100 billion since supporting Trump. So what's his motivation? Well, it doesn't seem like it's money. He says he loves America. He sees that America is floundering and is teetering on financial catastrophe because we're $36 trillion in debt. He loves a challenge. He likes to fix things and solve big problems. And I did a question to Grok, Grok 3, the newest AI from Elon Musk, and asked Grok the question, what motivates Elon Musk? And Grok said, well, it's a mixture of things. But one of the things that he pointed out was Elon Musk likes to fix big, knotty, hairy, difficult problems. And there's nothing bigger than the $36 trillion debt and the amount of waste, fraud, abuse, and mismanagement of all the money going into the government. So he's working on that. Now, you may not be familiar with the name Howard Lutnick. Howard Lutnick is Secretary of Commerce. And people ding him because he's a friend of Trump's and Trump put him in that position. And typically, you're not going to put your enemies in those cabinet positions. So stands to reason that he would be a Trump supporter or Trump friend. But he's a billionaire. And he became CEO of a company when he was a young guy in his 20s, 29 years old, and turned the company around. Did really well. Well, he was being interviewed. Not sure who was interviewing him, maybe CBS, but they were asking him a key question about how the perception, and are people going to get frustrated and just say, hey, you know, as we see from the left, Bernie Sanders and AOC, stop the oligarchy, and we don't want to be controlled by a few billionaires. Well, here was this response.
But it sounds like you're saying, trust us. And are you worried that at some point, Americans are going to feel like there's a bunch of billionaires in Washington who are playing Russian roulette with our retirement?
$2 trillion deficits don't bother you at all. How could you ask me while we're running a $2 trillion deficit and not care? You're destroying. The people who have run this country before are destroying the future for my children and my children's children. I can't have a 50, 75. We have a $36 trillion deficit. And we used to run deficits of $400 billion. Now $2 trillion, everybody's like, who cares? I tell you what, who cares? Donald Trump cares. And when we balance the budget, you know what that means? That means our deficits stop. Interest rates come smashing down. His goal is to have external revenue. You know, the way I think about it, we all are so used to paying taxes. We're so used to it. We have like Stockholm syndrome. You know, don't stop the Internal Revenue Service, God forbid. How about this? The rest of the world leans on our economy, breathes off our economy. Not only is our economy $29 trillion GDP, but we consume $20 trillion a year. We are the buyer of everybody's stuff. We buy everybody's stuff. So who's more important, the people who sell stuff or the people who buy stuff? So we are the buyer of everybody's commodities, products, goods and services. Everything comes from us, right? Let them pay a membership fee. We all understand that model. Let them pay. How about we, you and I, and every single person we know pay less? How about no tax on tips? How about no tax on overtime? How about no Social Security? How about all those things? These are the kind of thoughts that will change America. I know what his goal is. No tax for anybody who makes less than $150,000 a year. That's his goal.
So
and that's what I'm working for.
That was Howard Lutnick, the Secretary of Commerce. And we should be concerned about the $36 trillion debt. We should be concerned about having a budget that is $2 trillion underfunded. That doesn't make sense. You can't run your household like that. You can't run a business like that for very long before you're sunk. You can't run a church like that. We can't run deficits at First Baptist Texarkana. Whatever monies you have saved up that would be used up. And, you know, if you're the pastor and you're running the church into the ground financially, you're not going to be there any longer. People will say, hey, enough of this. We can't keep spending money we don't have. Well, in the federal government, it seems like there's just an endless supply of money, but that's a facade. There is not an endless supply of money. And I applaud Elon Musk, and I applaud Howard Lutnick, and I applaud Donald Trump for seeing that there's a problem that needs to be fixed. Now, that doesn't happen without a lot of kicking and screaming and, you know, an uproar from the left, because you're upsetting the apple cart. People don't like change by and large. And you have to change a lot of things if you're going to right the ship. And that's going to cause lots of people to get up in arms over that. Now, there was an interview last night with Newt Gingrich, and he was talking about this situation about money. And the love of money, as it says in 1 Timothy 6, is a root of all sorts of evil. It's not money. Money is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. But it's your attitude toward money. And if you love it and you long for it, it's a root of all sorts of evil. And we have lots and lots of people in our world who are driven by money. You can get them to do things, to sin, to commit crimes for money, because money is the thing that that is number one in their lives. Well, Newt Gingrich was talking about what's going on between the Republicans and Democrats, what's going on in Congress and in our government. Well, it's Elon Musk and Donald Trump showing that there's fraud, waste, and corruption, shutting off the money, and it's causing people to freak out because now they can no longer have their honeypots to pay for nefarious things. Here's what Newt said.
There are two different things going on here with the Democrats. The first is they are watching with terror as all the different sources of government money that has propped them up for the last 60 or 70 years, all of it is now being challenged by President Trump and by Elon Musk. I mean, this cuts at the very base of their coalition. And if they can't bribe people, if they can't act corruptly, if they can't take care of their friends, their entire coalition is going to collapse. Second, you have a very large part of the Democratic Party for whom the beliefs you were describing, transgenderism, for example, are religious beliefs. This is a secular religion. They can't unlock because they believe these things. They believe in an open border. They believe that there really is no such thing as America. They believe that it's really good to have millions of people flood into this country. It's really good to have people who don't have to work, that work requirements are inherently bad. All of these things are a semi-religious or religious belief system, and that's why they can't unlock. It's not rational. They can't sit down and do a common sense analysis. They're instead trapped into being for things that are profoundly unpopular with most Americans.
Well, that was Newt Gingrich, and he mentions two things. You know, obviously he didn't use these words, but the love of money. If you have to pay people to do the things that you want to get done because they are motivated by money, and they will sacrifice their principles for money. So you have those folks, and then you have other folks that really believe all these terrible things that most Americans say we're not for this. Transgenderism, having biological males play female sports. You know, this idea that a man can be a woman, and what's a woman? Well, we don't know. It's just a woman. And, you know, if you put on a dress and put on a wig, well, you're obviously a woman now. That's insanity. That's Romans 1. where God gives you over to a reprobate mind, and they can't unlock from that, to use the term that Newt Gingrich used. So those two things, depravity of mind and a love of money, it's a poison. And I believe that what we're seeing in government today through Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the cabinet is trying to right this wrong and get America back on solid financial footing. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about the love of money. What motivates people to do what they do? Well, for so many, they are motivated by the love of money. And, you know, you've heard the expression, just follow the money. If you want to see if something is rotten, just follow the money, because so many people are motivated by money. Now, I got called out yesterday by a listener to the program. I appreciate his listening, and he disagrees with me on a lot of things, but he still listens. And so I'm thankful and grateful for that. And but he called me out on a couple of things. I wanted to address those things because I really do. I have a strong desire to be accurate in what I say. And one of the things that he mentioned, sure, Michael Singleton, I played a clip from him yesterday. He's on a panel on CNN, and I mentioned that CNN, it was kind of, you know, obviously a liberal news outlet, but he's a Republican. And so I don't know how strong a Republican he is, but he would not be classified as a liberal. He would be classified more as a conservative. So I wanted to correct that. He was the guy that said that Tim Walz is basically a fool for what he said about, you know, getting a jolt every time he sees Tesla stock go down. Tesla employs 80,000 plus people in America, and why would you want to see a company that is such a strong American company go down? Why would that give you glee? Well, it's because you hate Elon Musk. And Tim Walz did come back and say, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that as being a smart aleck. He didn't say smart aleck, but he said, I have a problem with Elon Musk. And so, yeah, that's typical. They hate Elon Musk. They hate Elon Musk, and you want to destroy Tesla to try and get at him somehow. They don't have any beef with Tesla. They have a beef with Elon Musk, so we're going to try and come after his business. And they've done a lot of damage. And, you know, that brings me to a second point that I got dinged on this yesterday. In this guy's email, had to do with the GPS mapping. Now, I saw this post on X. It was reposted by Elon Musk, and it was from a guy named Tony Segura, and he calls himself a data mapping genius or something like that. I have to look it up to get the exact phrasing that he calls himself, but he's a venture capitalist. It's a little sketchy on how accurate his self descriptions are. So, you know, you can't be definitive, but he said that, hey, what they're doing with these Democrat rallies, it's just people that go to the same rallies. And he said, if you check their phones and do GPS mapping, which is technology that is available, it could be very tedious and could be expensive to do that. But he said he did it, and he found that 84% of these people that came to the rally had come to other rallies. So they're, in his estimation, they're busing these people in. They're paying these people to do that. I don't think these people are just going to travel all over the place to go to the same rallies unless somebody is paying them. But that fits. You know, I don't know how to do that, so I'm taking somebody's word for it. Is he blowing smoke, or is he accurate? I did take some confidence in the fact that Elon Musk retweeted it and said, you know, they're paid actors. It fits the MO. It fits the profile. I saw the videos of the buses of people that they bust into the Kamala Harris rallies. And somebody has posted with these Tesla protests outside of the dealerships. There are people that are being paid to do that. And now that fits with what we hear from Chuck Schumer. And Chuck Schumer has let people know that they're organizing people to go to these Republican town halls and be disruptive. This is what he had to say recently.
We have people going to the Republican districts and going after these Republicans who are voting for this and forcing them to either change their vote or face the consequences. This is a long, relentless fight that we fight every day. And I am confident that we will bring Trump's popularity, numbers, and strength down if we keep at it and keep at it and keep at it.
Okay, so that's the Democrat leader, Chuck Schumer. And he says it's a concerted effort. They're working hard to bring Trump's popularity down, down, down. My problem with that is, if all you're doing is attacking and calling people names and we're going to be disruptive and we're going to mobilize and come after you. What do you have? What are you presenting as an alternative? You know, if you're just tearing everything down, you don't really have anything for us to latch onto, you know. So Hitler, Nazi, fascist, all the names, racist, white supremacist, all those names they throw out there. Okay, well, yeah, what do you have? So what's your solution for the deficit? We're $36 trillion in the hole. And just this year, we're going to run a $2 trillion budget deficit. What's your plan for that? Well, there's no plan. There's nothing that they're bringing to the table as, the plan on the right is all terrible. Let us show you the plan on the left. And so as we played the clip from Newt Gingrich, they are locked in to transgenderism. They're locked in to open borders. And as Elon Musk has postulated, why do they want open borders? Because they want to get all these people in the country. They want to feed them with all this free stuff that they're getting from some government agencies that's giving to an NGO. They're getting money from FEMA to put them up in five-star hotels or nice hotels. I don't know how many stars they have, but it's more than two or three. And nice hotels, luxury hotels, they're paying for all their stuff. And, you pay for all somebody's stuff, and what do you expect in return? We expect you to vote for us. You vote for the party that is giving you all the free stuff. Well, that makes sense. And so these people vote that way, and if we can get them to be voters, then we're locked into power forever. So the three things that leaders have to watch out for, you've heard me say this time and time and time again, Deuteronomy chapter 17, it's from God to the people, through Moses to the people. This is what's going to happen when you ask for a king. This is what you have to watch out for with the king. He can't multiply wives. That's sex. He can't multiply horses. That's power, military power. And he's not to multiply silver and gold. So that's money. That's sex, that's power. Those three things are what bring people down. Those three things are the temptations of leadership. And one of the big ones is the love of money. So with all that said, I want us to turn inward and ask ourselves the question about the love of money. Now, we don't like to think that we struggle with the love of money, but the reality is, it's a big temptation. It's a temptation for everyone. I don't care how far along you are in the Christian life. That's a constant temptation out there, the love of money. Now, Jesus spoke about money a lot because money is probably the best single test that you can use to test your Christian life, to see how you're doing in the Christian life. How do you do with money? Now, Jesus said this, no one can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And so we worship God and use money. That's the right way to do it. But the temptation is to worship money and use God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we hear that often, praying for revival. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, not my hand, not what I can give them, not my blessings, but my face, me. We don't come to God wanting things from God. We want God. And so that's the proper motivation is, Lord, I just want you. I love the line from Sandy Patty's book, Broken on the Back Row, where she talks about her adultery. And she was in this cover-up mode for so long. Sandy Patty, the great singer, and she was presenting herself as one way, but she had all these internal conflicts and problems and adultery that she was covering up. And she got to the place where she said, God, I don't care what anyone has to find out about me. I don't care what is said about me. I just want to be right with you. And, I've never forgotten that line in her book. I just want to be right with you. She came to our church and did a concert. This was a number of years ago, but I told her, I said, Sandy, you're a hero of mine because of your courage and bravery. Because of that statement, she said, I don't feel much like a hero. And I said, to have the courage to say that to the Lord and to say, I don't care. I just want to be right with you. I just love that because that reveals a heart that really does love God. And, the embarrassment, the humiliation that she had to endure being such a public figure and having that, all that come out about her and saying, God, I'll own it if I can be right with you. So a heart that really loves God is not going after his hand. It's going after his face, saying, Lord, I want you. So I ran across this little test. You know, we're talking about the love of money. People are motivated by money. I asked the church the question last Sunday. I started a series called God and Money. And I asked the question, are you driven by the love of God or by the love of money? Do you really do what you do because you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you doing what you do because secretly you're using God to get money and you think that money is the be-all, end-all? You know, that's the problem with the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel puts money at that's the payoff, and that's not the payoff. For the Christian, money is not the payoff. God is the payoff. His presence, being close to him in his presence, excuse me, that Scripture says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So, do you love money? Let's find out. Question number one, do you find yourself thinking about money much of the time? You're thinking about how I can get more money, how I can spend this money, how I can save money, how I can protect money from somebody else so they don't get it. Many of us are familiar with the character on Gilligan's Island, Thurston Howell III, played by Jim Backus. And Thurston Howell was all the time thinking about money, talking about money, worshiping money. I still remember an episode where he's asleep, and in his sleep, he's just repeating money, money, money. You know, he just thinks about it all the time. Is that you? Question number two, do you find yourself worrying about money? I'm just so worried that there's not going to be enough, or I'm so worried that somebody might try and get what I have. I had a friend of mine that had a Rolex President, and that was the top-of-the-line Rolex. I think it still is, top-of-the-line Rolex. They cost about $40-something thousand dollars. Beautiful watches. Well, you know, many people are afraid to wear it because they're afraid somebody's going to rob them. So I had a friend of mine had a Rolex President. He kept it in a safety deposit box because he was afraid if I wear it, somebody might steal my Rolex. And my friend that had a Rolex when I was in college, somebody actually did come to his house with a gun, knocked on his door at 9, 10 o'clock at night, And my friend Everett opened the door and thought it was, he was very involved in the college department, thought it was a college student that was coming by. Well, the guy stuck a gun in his face, and he knew his name. He said, "Everett, I'm going to rob you." And what did he want to take? One thing, his Rolex President. So you're worried about that. Somebody's going to take from me. Do you never seem to have enough money? Do you always seem to think, oh, if I just had a little more, I just need a little more. I know if I had more money, then I would be happy. Is that in your line of thinking? Does it pain you to give your money away when they ask at church for an offering, give to the Lord? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Does that bother you? Oh, I don't want to part with my money. I just want to hold on to my money. And then the big one, do you sin to obtain money? I mean, are you going to lie? Are you going to cheat? Are you going to steal? Are you going to commit an act of immorality? Are you going to sell out your morals and your principles just to get money? If you will do that, if you'll cheat on your taxes and cheat on an insurance claim and cheat on a business deal, if you'll do that just to get money, what does that say about you? Well, it's a strong indicator that money has taken first place in your life. We need to make sure that God has first place in our lives, that we have no other gods before God, and we remember that we can't serve two masters, because money and God are going in different directions. You know, you've seen at the circus a guy riding two horses, standing on two horses. Well, those horses are going in the same direction. You can ride two horses as long as they're going in the same direction, but the love of God and the love of money, those aren't going in the same direction. And no man can serve two masters. You can't ride one horse that's going south and another horse that's going north. You will split apart. And so it's impossible to do that. And the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And if you long for it, you'll wander away from the faith and will pierce yourself with many griefs. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight for the babies.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Now, as we often do, for the third segment, we open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. It's always a joy to talk to our listeners. And before we do that, I wanted to just mention again about Activate Summit 2025. It's going to take place June 12th through the 14th at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's for the whole family. Activate Kids programs for ages 6 through 12, and then teaching for adults. Special pricing ends Friday, April 18th. Get your tickets now before prices go up. The cost is $75 for ages 13 and up, $50 for ages 6 through 12, and it's free for children 5 and under. Vendors and partners are welcome. And this is a great conference. Debbie and I were privileged to be speakers at it a few years ago, and you're not going to be disappointed. So I encourage you to check it out. You can go to Activate, or to register, activate.afa.net/summit, or you can go to afr.net and find out more information. So we are talking about the love of money and how that figures into what's going on in our nation today. Really, that figures into all kinds of corruption, because the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And but as it says in verse 9, 1 Timothy 6:9, that's 1 Timothy 6:10, it says the love of money, the root of all sorts of evil. But it says in the verse before that, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men in to ruin and destruction. Some people think, well, it's fine to want to get rich. But listen, when you put that as your goal, I want to be rich, that is a bad goal. You know, I want to do a good job. I want to provide for my family. I want to make a difference in my world, in this world, for Jesus Christ. That's a good goal. And if riches come as a result of that, God is not against riches. He rejoices, and he, as it says in the book of Psalms, he delights in the prosperity of his servants. Abraham was the father of all who believe. Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. God is not against that, but that is not the goal. And so those who want to get rich, if that's your goal, well, then you're serving the God of money. And no one can serve two masters. And so the scripture is clear, as Jesus told about that in Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things that we need. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves with? Those essentials, all these things he'll provide for us. But we seek him first. And as it says in 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. You know, one of the things, when you love money, you're not content. Let your character, Hebrews 13 says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I mean, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you have him living in your heart by the person of the Holy Spirit, you have everything that you need. You have the God of the universe living inside. Why would you be looking for something else? And we just deepen that relationship. The Christian life is just about deepening that relationship, that love relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and growing in Christ and making a difference, shining and sharing and being a faithful witness to others so that others would come to know him before leaving this world. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And we have Raul on the line from Texas. Raul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. Well, just to get off the topic for just a moment, Syria, I hear that, you know, they're murdering Christians by the hundreds, if not the thousands. And I just wanted to know, did you know any, what are your thoughts on that, or is there, do you have any information about that?
No, I need to look up on that, Raul. But obviously a big, big issue, a big problem. I need to do a program on that. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. What do you have that you can share with us?
The reason I ask, I talked to my brother. He lives in Saudi, and he knows the former president of Syria. He knows him, not knows him, but his nephew, And he tells me there is no genocide. There's no murdering of Christians there in Syria. And the news there, Al Jazeera, I guess that's what it is, they're, you know, downplaying it as if nothing's going on in Syria as far as murdering Christians. And there's really no information here in the United States about what's going on. And so it's just not clear to me exactly what's going on. And I thought I'd call in and ask you if you've, you have any information on that.
Yeah, I'll look that up. I have friends that live in Israel that I can talk to. They would probably know as well as anybody what's going on there. And so I'll find out information. I'll report back on that hopefully tomorrow, Raul. But I appreciate the question. Yeah, you know, we know that things are happening in other places, and you know, sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. But we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being targeted. You know, one of the things that that we don't have here, we have persecution in a different way, but typically we're not getting hunted down and killed for our faith in Christ as you have in some of these areas that are heavily, you know, Islamic, and you have the Muslim extremists that are coming in and killing people. You know, Islam has always been smash mouth religion. It's the believe or die. That's how Muhammad did things, and that's how they would call themselves true followers of Muhammad. That's how they do things. And so we need to be praying for them and standing up for them. So I appreciate you bringing that up on the program today, Raul, and I will definitely look into that, and we will report.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Well, one of the reasons, as we've been talking about the love of money, one of the reasons that is such an insidious foe is because it is very easy to fall in love with money. As a Christian, we have to constantly be on guard. Jesus said, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed," Luke chapter 12. "For even when a man has an abundance, for not even when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions." So beware, be on guard. That's out there. And that desire for more, what is the 10th commandment? It says, do not covet. Don't desire your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor. And it's a feeling of discontentment. I have too little. I need more. And if I just had more of this world's goods, then I would be happy. You know, in Joshua chapter 7, we have the story of Achan. And Achan was the one who coveted. He was the one that took things from Jericho that were under the ban. And God says, all that's in Jericho belongs to me. Don't take any of it. But he saw a Babylonian coat that he wanted. He took that. He saw some silver, some gold. He took that and brought them back to his tent, no doubt with his wife and kids, their full knowledge. He buried it in his tent. And he said, nobody sees, and I've gotten away with this. But that's not true, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And God saw. And God exposed his sin. He tried to cover up his sin, and God uncovered his sin. It's a principle in Scripture. If we conceal our transgressions, we will be found out. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, if memory serves me correctly. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. If you try and cover up and conceal your transgressions, God will uncover them. But if you uncover them before the Lord, confess them before the Lord, he'll cover them in his blood and he'll forgive. Well, Achan was a guy who coveted. He wanted those things. He thought those things were going to make him happy. He was inflicted and affected and infected with the love of money and materialism, and he wanted those things, and he went after those things, and he ended up losing his life. He was stoned to death, and along with his family, who was part of that that cover up and the desire for these things that were under the ban that belonged to God. It's a strong reminder for all of us that once you go down that road, you will bring destruction upon yourself. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men, literally you're drowned with the love of money, plunge men into ruin and destruction. So we have to watch out for that. And the statement is really true. When you sense that something is rotten, follow the money. Because when you follow the money, then you follow the trail of corruption. Well, we have David on the line from Indiana. Is it Iowa or Indiana? What's IA?
It's Iowa.
Iowa. Okay. What's the, yeah. I guess Indiana is I-N?
I-N, I believe, yes.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, David from Iowa. David, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I just wanted to comment, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't always know if it's the love of money, but it's the mismanagement of money, and I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been going through is I had a lot of needs. They were needs, not like we took a cruise to the Caribbean or something, and I put it on the credit card, and over time I realized, I'm carrying a debt and there's an interest there. And now I'm fighting and struggling to bring that down. And so I don't feel like I love something, but I definitely mismanaged it and I didn't bring God into it. And I've been very convicted of that here recently. And in fact, I talked to Rob West on the next show that's coming up and started making a plan to pay that debt off, because that interest alone, I could be supporting a ministry I know of in Pakistan that I want to help, and my church, and I give. It's just, I kept thinking, I can pay this off, I can pay this off, and I got myself to a place where I went, whoa, I can't pay this off. I'm going to have to really fight to pay this off now. So I don't know how that's classified, but it's definitely mismanagement, and I think we are still held accountable God. I don't think I would feel this convicted if I wasn't.
Yeah, that's a good point, David. I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, I think for a lot of us, it's not necessarily we love money, but we don't use money correctly, and we're not bringing God into our spending. And I think that's part of, you know, living surrendered to the Lord and being His slave is you talk to Him about everything. And even minor expenses, you know, Lord, you know, bring Him into that. So we talk about pray without ceasing, and people say, well, how in the world can you pray without ceasing? Well, it's just you're talking to the Lord all the time, maybe not, probably not out loud, because people would think you're insane, but in your mind, you're talking to the Lord. And when you're buying things, Lord, do you want me to get this? Is this okay for me to get, or would you not want me to do this? And especially when you start spending, you know, larger amounts of money. And Debbie and I, early in our marriage, we said, hey, anything over $100, you know, other than groceries, we're going to talk it out together. Do we really need this? Because when Debbie and I got married, she was working, I was working, and then she got pregnant with Jill. And after married 15 months, we had our first child, and she stayed home with the baby. That's the way we wanted to do it. But money got tight because we lost 50% of our income when she left the teaching field. And we had to be very, very careful. And so we worked together on that. And, you know, we'd had to ask the Lord about purchases. So I think you're exactly right, David. I think we can get ourselves in trouble when we just start getting things that we want and not against the Lord, but we're just not involving the Lord like we should. And, you know, he'll keep us from making bad decisions. And the other thing, I'm going to talk about this Sunday, you have to honor the Lord from your wealth. And Malachi chapter 3 makes it clear. God says, if you will honor me, if you'll put me first in your finances and trust me with your finances, And one of the ways we trust God with our finances is putting Him first and giving generously and cheerfully to the Lord's work. He promises to bless what we have left. And so your 90% with the blessings of God will go far further than your 100% without it. So thanks for listening today. David, thanks for calling in. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. And so I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.